You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Keeping Up with the Kardashians news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Hey, everybody, I'm Jackie Moran, and welcome. I have my lovely co-host joining me, Pat Lambert. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, everyone. It's so good to be back. I love these Kardashian girls.
I know. Weren't you feeling withdrawal for, like,
this Oscar? This was a dramatic episode.
It was all about one question, Pat Lambert. That is, should Courtney and Scott
get married? Should they get married? Should Chris give a flying F?
Should Chris be controlling them like puppets? Or is Courtney right? And does she need to get some language going and get tough with her? Say, stay out of my effing business.
Or is Courtney...
Start, like, initial thoughts, we'll go into the layers of why each was feeling the way they were feeling. I mean, we all know Chris is like a holier than thou mode, spiritual mode episode.
Yeah.
But he was obviously pressuring the whole episode.
Since when is Chris Jenner like a devout priest? Like, sorry.
All of a sudden, she's running a Kardashian empire. How does she have time to become like a minister all of a sudden?
I think it's pretty easy, though. I think it's, like, kind of one of those, like, Facebook quizzes. Like, that's how you become, like, a priest. It's like, are you a human? Do you like boys and girls? Can they get married? You can marry them. Read the script.
Right. Well, as it's like, said to Chris Humphries as they were typing, which is totally cute, my dog needs to do it. So I guess it's not that difficult.
Oh, no, it's very easy. I plan to do it.
Well, that's also a little scary, but... She obviously put the pressure on Courtney this episode, and Courtney stood strong. And obviously things got heated, but overall, what's your feeling on the whole Courtney Scott marriage baby?
Here's the breakdown. Here's what's up with it. Chris should not be meddling this intensely in Courtney's life, especially because Chris says to Courtney, you're just going against all the things that I have a quote. Against every single thing I believe in. Okay, if that's not a drastic statement, then I've never heard one. Like, Chris is getting way too deep into this. Like, I know she's her mother, but that's her girl's life. And where was Chris? Like, Chris hated Scott forever, and now she's like... She's campaigning for them to get married. And how awkward and embarrassing would it be that if you're insecure about maybe your relationship or the idea of marriage, that you're being called out in front of strangers but at a wedding, like, consistently? I think her mother was a bully in this episode. And I love Kris Jenner. And I get how devoted she is to her daughters and to whatever mythical religion that she thinks she's a part of. But that was far too involved with Courtney. Courtney, however, I think had one of the most legitimate and insightful points that I think she's maybe ever had on tonight's episode when she said that she didn't want to commit to Scott until she knew he was 100% better, you know, until she knew that he was at a place where it was safe for her child and for however many other children she may have. And I think that's respectable, intelligent, and strong of her.
I totally agree with you on that. Honestly, like, I love how we have a 4th of July holiday, jump from her breast implants to her being, like, the most mature, logical mom on the planet. But I really liked her in this episode because she really stood up to her mom, first of all. I think we all envy that. I'm sure a lot. I know there's a lot of us out there that have that meddling kind of mom personality, and it's very tough to sort of stand up for yourself, especially the way they work so closely and combine family and business. But she stood, you know, I love what she said. I don't want to get married just to get married. I want to do it when I want to do it. I want it to be right. And with all the divorce rates and everything that happens in society and marriage today, she's a perfect example of doing the right thing. And the other point that you touched upon that I want to call out again that I think is so important is all of a sudden, from last season to this season, everybody hates Scott, especially Chris. I remember her like saying she won't even sit down.
Chris hated him.
Where did she come off? Like all of a sudden saying, you don't marry him, you're ruining my entire world belief.
Every like, single thing I believe in? Like, where does that come from?
What's going on?
I think I think Chris steadily has become just the star of this show in her own right. And she's wanted to, like, if you watch this episode, she talks to her at when they're shopping in the garden place or whatever. Then she talks to her friend Lisa about it and makes it about her feelings and her being embarrassed. That's why Courtney should get married. You know, it's going against what her mother thinks that she's not married when it's this girl's choice.
Right. She said to her friend, first of all, how embarrassing it is that her friend would be mortified if Courtney were her daughter.
Who is she to get embarrassed by that?
Right. And, like, she said, this is so hard for me. Like, what's so hard for you? The fact that somebody that you hated is not marrying your daughter or your daughter's marrying him?
Like, this is my big concern because I've never seen this kind of crazy come out of Chris in all the seasons that we've had her. Like, for the longest time, I think Chris has been really kind of the rock of the family and been the most innovative or interesting at times in the other seasons. But this season, I don't know if she's just doing it because now she's got this big EP credit and is making much more money on the show than ever and wanting some of the stardom, that she is the one stirring problems every single episode. It was about changing the name. It was about overworking the kids. Like, every single episode, it's much less about these girls who seem to be doing nothing every episode, almost, like, just lounging around. And then their mother just kind of meddling to the point of concern. Like, she's just become kind of annoying. And I can't tell how much of it is real and how much of it she is staging for the idea of needing to pump out another episode.
I find it very interesting that you said he's executive producer on this season, because I really do see, like we said this last after show, that I really see a change in the producing and feeling like it's more forced.
Yeah.
Any other season, when they are busier than any other season and should have so much more exciting, genuine material to be covering, such as their photos, their partners, their, you know, everything that's going on
in
relationships and business-wise, the travel and the glamour. And yet, we're seeing these girls sitting around every episode, right, and feeling like forced drama is being created. You feel that way? Like, I really feel that this was another forced episode.
That's the biggest concern about this whole season. As it started, remember the first episode? I was like, look at these new houses. Look at these new huge, like, panning shots of the homes and of Los Angeles. But it's becoming very methodical in the way that these episodes are being pumped out, as if story arcs are being created so that they can pump out a 22-minute episode. And it seems very 20, like, you know, normally a half-hour show feels like you haven't had enough. But for these, it seems like they're stretching nothing for too long. You know, they stretch this one storyline about this marriage thing for the whole episode. And I'm like, is that really that's all that's going on in this 9-person family? Like, maybe they're reading a book. Maybe this girl, like, something. Why aren't they buying a pair of heels? Like, why is it centering around the Kris Jenner lifestyle? You know?
Right.
Every episode, I mean, Kim Kardashian is technically the star of this show. where is more of her? Where's her right. life? Where's her house?
Come to you on Skype for like 1 second, and I feel like they showed like, him for 1 second with her in when she went to New York with Kylie, and then
yeah.
they showed that in that first episode.
Like,
we
no
want
one
more drama there. We
right.
want to see the relationship unfolding. Where is that?
Like, no offense, and maybe it's because the girls are, I don't know what the real, or it's easier, I'm sure it's much, much easier to just keep all the cameras in Chris's house and just shoot what happens there, but it seems like in the past it was always, the reason we were excited to go to the house was because the whole family was coming over, and there was always family time, and like, I don't think I could name a single storyline from any episode of any of the seasons, but drama just kind of continuously unfolded, but now it seems like they're pushing it. They're, like, manufacturing some kind of drama. And the three girls, like, are just playing their parts. Like, they're not really getting too involved unless it has to be involved with them. Like, I don't know. It seems like Chris is pulling the puppet strings a little too close to home now, if that makes any sense.
I agree. And I also feel like...
Like, when in the other seasons would we care that Chris is marrying a random couple? Like, when would that ever be relevant? When we have to watch Courtney on a photo shoot, Kim flying to Milan, like, when those were the things that were pushing us, when Chloe's, like, starting a new show in Miami, when there were things that were kind of pushing them, like, monumental movements happening in their lives, and now, like, we have a whole episode about her worrying about these stupid lines that she learned online. Like, I love Kris Jenner, and I hope she does listen, but I hope she doesn't listen. But it seems like the show is becoming Kris Jenner-centric, which I don't think the show is about.
And, yeah, and I almost feel like they're real life. We all know reality TV is produced, and we accept that, because yeah. it's as close to the real thing as you get. But at this point, I almost feel like they're taking their real life and putting that on hold to film the show,
if
that makes any sense.
Right. It seems like they were like, she got the family together and she said, all right, we got 2 months. We're going to hang out in each other's houses. Cameras will follow us. We'll pump out a 22-episode arc, and then you guys go on your merry way. Like, this show used to be about following how this life is happening. Like, where's the episode where Kim Kardashian, during the time that they were shooting this, hit 8 million followers or 7.5 or what have you? Like, she's at 8 million now. I think she hits 7 during the taping of this season. Like, where's the day that she realizes, oh my god, I have 7 million Twitter followers? That, to me, is an interesting moment, because it's something behind the gates. I was talking...
another interesting moment. Let's talk about, actually, a scene. There were most of these scenes that felt like real issues. Let's look at Scott the therapist, for instance.
Yep.
Like, I want to accept that as real, because that, to me, would seem like real family issues going on.
Right.
Inside the vibe with him being worried and a little bit jealous about her and Courtney and Mason, him not sitting in the bed. And,
right.
you know, Courtney actually, Courtney looked really tired in this episode.
And maybe she is, but I want to know why. Like, for me, like, I don't know if you can name a single episode where we've seen any of those three girls have anything to do. Have anything to do. Like,
right, like, I'd even like to see Courtney, maybe they don't want to show Mason, and I understand that, but maybe a little more realness to the Courtney.
But where's Mason? Like,
facing the baby issue, or...
Like, if Courtney's not out there working or whatever because she has a baby, where's the baby? What is Chloe doing? Is she going to Lamar's games? We know that we see her at the games. Can we see anything like their relationship? Can we see them going out to dinner? Kim must have a packed schedule. The only time that we've seen her working, and I put that in quotes, is when she had to leave the family dinner like a few episodes ago. Like, I know this girl is busier than the show is giving. And
right. Yet we all have time to, you know, but I think the only thing we saw of Chloe was that she was sick.
Right.
Under the cover. And, you know, I appreciate those moments with, like, her and Bruce and seeing her.
That was cute.
And I get it. Like, we see the family connection, but I do want to feel more of an inside scoop into their life.
Right.
What the show is about.
And also, the show used to be driven by their personalities. It used to be that you loved to watch maybe a little bit of drama, or even you didn't mind watching them play the Wii, because Chloe would say something stupid and irreverent, and Kim would laugh and fall, and Courtney would bitch about it. Like, their personalities or that dynamic would always kind of come through. Chloe has four lines. We say lines, but, like, in scripted, like, she says a few things in this episode. And she was, like, the personality of the show. Kim sheds one belief in the thing. Like, it's weird to me. It's to me, I'm a little worried that the show is going too far away from what reality is kind of about and becoming more... When would we follow Kris Jenner's storyline? Like, that doesn't make particular sense. The idea of marriage. I liked that they kind of touched on this topic, especially because Kim, we know, is getting married very soon. And all of Hollywood wants to go. And it's. I recently watched an interview where Kim is talking about if she wants to have that, like, with the cameras or not. But it's just too fabricated of a reality. I know that these girls are doing other things, and I want to see those things. But enough of, like, I shouldn't be bitching. We shouldn't be bitching and moaning as much as we are about what's wrong with the reality setup of it. At the end of the day, I think Kris is just introducing dramatic options as a producer to the producers instead of offering the family.
Right. And, I mean, I do think there is some truth to this element of the storyline of this episode and Courtney and Scott. And I am curious to know more about them. And I think, you know, we see it unfolding as we've seen some of the previews that Scott is going through his life, you know, having to really come around from what we saw, which I do believe were true problems of his.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see them at the therapist for a few minutes there, whether it felt real or not. I think they probably are seeing a therapist. And I think Courtney is genuinely has issues from seeing her parents go through, you know, like going through a divorce, worrying about Scott's life, not wanting to do that to Mason. I think all of those things were real.
Oh, entirely, yeah.
And I, you know, I have opinions on that. Like, honestly, do you think, I mean, did you feel that Courtney, I mean, totally fabricated, weird wedding, the Pastor Brad thing.
Like, who's Brad? Like,
let me ask you a question. If you were Pastor Brad, why are you having your wedding at the Kardashian house?
Like,
unless you're interested in being on TV.
Unless you're interested.
Was that the weirdest wedding?
To me, like, it was, she was like, oh, he married, you know, Chloe and Lamar way back, and we've talked since. Like, are they friends? Like, do they go way back? Like, what is this weird, very fabricated? Like, this couple, like, clearly didn't know anyone. And then it was weird to me that the Kardashians are in the family, like, the wedding photo. I was like, do you even know this family? Like, do you even know these people? Like,
I'm
Chloe
really
and-
glad I wasn't the only one who thought this was weird.
Chloe and Kim, like, didn't even name who the two getting married were. They were, even though Chloe kind of knows him, but, like, they weren't like, oh, between John and Kate or whoever's up there. John and Kate, that's a marriage. But they didn't even name, and it was like, where did this come from? Or, like, is Kris that bored? Like, I know she must be busy. Two episodes ago, they were complaining she was too busy. Like, where did this come from?
Yeah, this was way out in left field, and you have to think that partly this was fabricated to create a storyline for the Courtney and
I think
Scott
it was entirely fabricated. Because why else would Kris bring it up three more times we see at the wedding? Like,
right.
Wouldn't
if
she,
that's
if
wedding,
those were her friends.
You want that to be happening. That
exactly.
Would be so rude.
If those were her friends, wouldn't she be mingling with those friends? Like, she sees the girls every single day of her life. Like, does she need to be hanging out with her daughter again? Like, if you're having a party at your house, wouldn't you entertain everybody? It just seemed very contrived and off.
Yeah. It was very contrived, and if that was Pastor Brad's real wedding, I'm sorry for you.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it'll be a memorable wedding. I mean, that's a good picture to put up on your mantle with the Kardashian family behind you. I mean, I was looking at it, and I was like, you know, if you want a low-key party that the Kardashians are mostly going to pay for, and, you know, that's a pretty cheap ticket, that's great publicity. Like, I it was a good bet for him. But clearly, like, him and Kris weren't close.
Right,
weird.
Unless they just didn't do a good enough job of introducing them properly, but you're right. I really did feel like this was like, who can we hire to bring in, to marry in our house?
How can we make this the marriage-themed episode?
Right, so that we can create the Courtney and Scott wedding drama episode.
And it was based on almost nothing. When Courtney was like, oh yeah, I think that we want to keep that extra bedroom in case it becomes a nursery. And And that spiraled into the 22-minute, like, will they get married? Should they? Like, that's too much.
Yeah, and I actually would watch the episode over again and do this again just to hear you imitate Courtney again.
Well, okay, it was very funny to me because people always on, what is it, SNL always does the Kardashians because they kind of talk like this.
Yeah.
Like Chinese that have like high voices. Kind of like Nicki Minaj as Barbie.
About that imitation, by the way.
But it was when Chloe was on the thing and she like laughed at her husband at Bruce and she's like, ha, ha, ha. And I was like, Kardashian. Hi, what? I can do them all. Courtney's kind of bitchier.
I can tell, and you're good at it. And let me just say, you're right. I'm glad you brought up that opening scene again because I just think it's funny. The whole premise of this
show. The whole
show,
thing based on nothing.
And based on Chris saying it's time to be traditional. Like, you're the Kardashian.
Exactly.
How traditional are you going to be?
When is your moral code that high? Like, no, I know it's not Kim's fault that whole sex tape thing came out. But if you're so deeply, like, harping on one daughter because she's worried about getting married, I feel like eventually, or I feel like after the whole Kim sex tape thing, sorry to bring it up, Kimmy, I feel like your family would kind of be like, maybe we're not the picture perfect of morality.
And you're signing up to live your life on television, so
yeah, and like, and wear bathing suits, like, and do Playboy, like, you know. I'm not saying any of the things that they did were wrong. I have my sex tape on file. Playboy is lining up. I'm offering them $10,000. But the point is that morality shouldn't really be like, for her. It just felt really awful what she said to Courtney, and I've never felt bad for Courtney because Courtney normally just complains when she's talking. It gets really fucking angry.
She did get
but I
very
felt,
angry.
I felt very bad when Chris was like, you go against everything I believe in. I was like, when do you believe in stuff?
That was so dramatic. And, you know, honestly, though, did you feel like Chris even really meant it? Like, I feel like Courtney was almost, in a way, like, ready to laugh at her at the same time.
I feel like Courtney was, like, holding back her laugh to be like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to act. I'm supposed to act in this show. I'm an actress.
Right.
The only character that I think I've fallen in love with, which I've never really liked before, is Bruce. Because Bruce, I guess against this mural of crazy people, looks logical every time it comes through. He's like, if you want to keep meddling,
totally
they're just going
to get
further away from you. And then Chris was like...
The whole scene with him and Chris in the kitchen and him, you know, obviously they teased to that line on the preview because it was the only logical line in the episode.
Yep.
But you're right. He is like that man, like, calming the drama. Like,
and he's never deeply involved in the drama.
Through.
He brings chicken soup over for Chloe. Like, what a nice, you know, plastic surgerified dad. Like, what a nice guy. And what else am I going to say? Oh, when Chris is looking at him, she's like, you're supposed to side with me. You're my husband. And he looks at her and he's like, no. I was like, when is just getting married supposed to mean, like, you have one opinion as a team? Like, I know you're supposed to compromise, but if you disagree on a point, like, and he even said it, he was like, it's her way or the highway. So Chris,
right,
love her to death for what she is, but she needs to stop spotlighting. I think Chris,
yes,
or she needs to do her own show. She needs to jump on The View or The Talk and become a panelist rather than trying to hijack the show about her family and her daughters.
Right, or she's desperately,
she's desperately seeking some sort of
trying to keep this show going, but it's actually backfiring on her.
It's almost as if the girls are bored with doing the show. It used to be very exciting, and because I think their family was in a different place. The family was younger. The family was evolving. The idea of marriage or relationships and kids and babies, like, that was a topic, whereas now it's almost adulted. Like, they're kind of grown into what they do, and it's not as lurid for them anymore. Like, they're in the lap of luxury and nothing's really that much of a challenge.
Right. You know, and it's weird. You're right. Bruce is one of the only ones that's coming off natural. What do you think of Scott, though?
Scott, I've come to love.
Like, yeah, I'm really kind of like coming to love the guys here. Scott actually genuinely, whether he's acting it or not, he seems to have like some fears going on.
He
seems to really have these issues that he's working out, and he's also seeming very interesting to me.
He's come a long way from being the most obnoxious, annoying, rude, pompous, spoiled little character to being wanting to become a man, which I find, you know, wonderful.
That's admirable.
Admirable.
Yeah. Now, how did you feel about hearing that him and Courtney don't sleep in the same bedroom? Because is it
now?
Me, or
I'm confused.
The last
there.
Episode have them like ready to take their clothes off and have a pajama.
They
party
want a bone every. You know? They're rabbits. They want a bone every time they walk inside. That's why they had to lock the mother out so that they could, you know, bone in peace. But it. I think it wasn't that. I think her mom was actually, first of all, not polite of her mother to share with her friend that Courtney and Scott are sleeping in different beds. That's not
totally
her.
Agree.
You know, that's something that you maybe can talk to your daughter about, but that's not something that you share or gossip about, especially for a family that knows gossip very, very well. To gossip
right.
about themselves doesn't seem logical. But I thought that it wasn't that they sleep in separate beds normally. It's just that the baby is in the room with Courtney, which takes up, I guess, space in their huge bed, and he must cry all night, so he sleeps in the other room. That's what I made sense of.
Yeah, and hello, welcome to parenthood. Sounds about right,
but I
just thought it was a funny change from last episode where you felt like they were getting it on every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden they're not sleeping in the same bed.
I think again that it was dramatized. I don't actually believe that they sleep in separate beds every night. Like and if they did, I'm pretty sure that we would be getting footage of that.
Right.
And that's why I think almost that Kris Jenner or whoever, like, it makes sense when the celebrities that the show is about get producer credits or help produce the show that they're starring in. Like, Kathy Griffin's the EP of her own show or whatever. But even Kathy knows, and Bethany Frankel talked about it in The Real Housewives, that when you sign yourself over to a reality program, and even if you hold a producer title, you're not supposed to produce your reality. You're just supposed to live it for the people, you know?
Right.
So if something is going wrong in the family, it's disrespectful to your fan base almost to hide it, because
right.
this is what they want from you. This is what you're telling them that you're going to give them.
Right. Yeah, I think we're all sitting here feeling like all we're saying is, because if our lovely Kardashian ladies are listening to us, which we hope you are, or sometimes maybe not, just want more of you guys. We want
right.
more of the real thing.
Because, I mean, the reality is that I really do love this. I've come to oddly love this family that compared themselves to the Kennedys. You know,
right.
I really...
Like we don't need the weird Pastor Brad wedding. Maybe even just you guys sitting on the couch.
Exactly. I don't
Who
need...
Who knows what'll come up, but it'll probably be more interesting, and we can all see through what's real and what's not, I think.
I think the weird part about this season is that it's become more Zsa Zsa, but it's also become watered down in the content, because in previous seasons, it was about those business meetings that the girls now skip. It was about seeing the brand be born or whatever. And now, I don't know if it's the publicist coming in and being, maybe it's smart of them that they're selling us 22 minutes of, you know, something that clearly wasn't expensive to produce.
Right.
And that we're all buying into it and we're not actually getting any of their secrets. So maybe that's why we're not getting to see how this brand is born. But that's
right.
what the show used to be about. And I think that's
and,
what it
yeah,
should
and
be.
It's you know, you'd think it's getting brand heavy in the way of you'd think you'd be seeing more Quick Trim or whatever.
Right.
But it's almost like you're being faked out on the Kardashian brand and what they're trying to sell at just as the family. Like
yeah.
they're selling the family and not showing us the real deal. I mean, even the one moment of Kim with Kris on Skype was one of my favorite moments of the show.
Right. And so, I mean, I wonder... The big question to me is, like, where is Kim's house? Have we gone to...
Right.
We've only been to Kim's house, I think, once. And,
right,
I mean,
and there
you
were
know,
all these rumors that she was, you know, looking for a pad in New York City. Like, where? When was all this happening?
Like if
the
family
the
isn't together to do this, don't do it. You know, don't bring the show back if they don't... And they don't have to. You know, it's fine for them to move on. My big question now, and I especially because the wedding is coming up very soon in August... Allegedly, what kind of coverage is going to take place of this Kris Humphries Kim Kardashian wedding?
Right, and actually, our news and gossip this
should we
week
move
offers some insight into that wedding and
okay.
what will be on camera and what she might be wearing.
Oh
so,
my,
do you have
oh
any
my.
Last thoughts? On the episode before
I mean,
we get into the next
overall again like another episode that I think the main thing that kept me going was the teaser that Courtney said that maybe Scott wasn't the one, which she then kind of said maybe it wasn't the case, but she was holding out till she was respected it and was 100% with him. But
right.
another episode where we're getting kind of surface level of what's really happening in this girl's lives, and I don't think that I'm not looking forward to the family vacation in Bora Bora because I, as cute as it seems, I think it's another way to evade or produce reality rather than live it.
Right.
Bam.
And, you know, to sum up this sort of produced half hour, I do think at the end of the day, I do agree with Courtney, and it, you know, I think she showed her stripes, and it's not that she, if she didn't want to be with Scott, she'd be broken up with him.
Right.
And she's just logically, like, has seen divorce. Everybody sees divorce, even if your parents haven't gotten divorced.
Right.
We all are smart enough to know, and we're, like, this independent generation that we don't need to get married. We want to be wanting to get married, and she doesn't need a piece of paper to make her relationship relevant.
Entirely.
And she's going to do it on her own time. And I like that.
Well,
so
let's get to the news and gossip, because there was a lot that happened this week.
What's that?
There was a lot that happened this week, so let's jump to news and gossip, because I have plenty to say.
Yes, but let's go to a quick commercial first.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729.
256-1729.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come off.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
Hey.
Hey, well, you wanted more of your Kim Kardashian. You might not have gotten it on this week's episode, but we have plenty on Kim and her upcoming nuptials in this week's news and gossip, so let's get into it. If there's some, I thought there would be some fancy music, but that's okay.
Oh, jump in.
So, this week's news and gossip, let's start with Kim Kardashian's dress situation. Is she about to say yes to a dress? I think so. A week after Khloe Kardashian told E! News that she hopes Kim follows in her footsteps and says her I do's in a Vera Wang gown, the future Mrs. Chris Humphries visited the A-list wedding specialist Manhattan Atelier and then was spotted at the Vera Wang bridal house in West Hollywood. So Kim was indeed trying on a wedding gown while mom Kris Jenner and sisters Khloe and Kourtney Kardashian with baby Mason in tow looked on. And to satisfy you, Pat, there were TV cameras shooting the whole thing.
Thank God.
In case you were feeling left out. Thank God. So according to OK Magazine, Kim's taking her inspiration for her dress, which she said will be very old Hollywood, from famous gowns she's loved, like Christina Aguilera's dress, which Kim loved the shape. And she also YouTubed Carrie from the Sex and the City movie when she tried on all of those fabulous
dresses. Oh, wow.
What girl hasn't? So what do you think of Kim going with Vera Wang, just like her?
There is no one better at wedding dresses than Vera Wang. Vera Wang is the go-to international wedding dress designer. Every celebrity, I think my first celebrity that I saw in a Vera Wang, not that I saw, but I read about, was Sarah Michelle Gellar back in like 2004 or something with Freddie Prinze Jr. and Vera Wang. Vera Wang just knows how to do really simple, elegant, beautiful so well. You know, she's found a kind of couture niche that's plain and regal, and they're not overdone dresses. There's never been a bad Vera Wang gown. Never.
Yeah, it's like in Bride Wars, Kate Hudson is, you know, you don't alter Vera to fit you. You alter yourself to fit
entirely.
Vera, so.
And you know, Vera Wang is such a franchise of brilliant, like from the plates to the forks to the lipstick, like everything that Vera touches is simple, girly, and beautiful. And
right.
And for her to channel old Hollywood is kind of brilliant of her to kind of brand herself as not another starlet in an overdone dress, but to find something really classic and creamy and delicious.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a little surprised in the Vera Wang choice.
Really?
Only because I thought she might want to be different and go, you know, against what her sister was doing. But at the same time, when you have a relationship with a designer and...
When you have Vera Wang, you don't walk away. I mean, because like...
I know. But, you know, there's a lot of other brilliant ones out there.
I think it's Marquesa, Louis Vuitton, Dior. Like, all those houses are brilliant in what they do. But those dresses seem to always be kind of about being a dress. Whereas Vera Wang's dresses are never about the dress. It's about a perfect moment. Whenever you see a Vera Wang wedding photographed, she always looks perfect and beautiful, but it's never about the dress, which is, I think, why Kim's making the choice to go there. It's a humble kind of elegance.
I agree.
I think
that Vera, when you're a talented designer, you will make the right thing for the right girl. So she can do anything.
And I think we can trust.
She might go out of the norm and go another way. But when you have a relationship with an amazing designer like that, you don't want to lose it.
The premier wedding dress designer of the world, I would not. And I think if we're kind of predicting what we think we're going to see with Kim's dress, I think that she's going to have a beautiful updo, that she's going to try to shorten some of her hair, that the dress will be a creamy, creamy white. Something like ivory white, not a stark, not a bleach. That the material is going to be something that's going to remind you of a white flower. And that it's going to be form-fitting, but silky. Silky smooth. So if we're looking at materials, I think you can probably rule chiffon out. You can probably rule a corset out. In my opinion, you're not going to see those. You're not going to see bedazzlers. You're going to see something very form-fitting and a one-piece kind of built thing. That's my prediction in my own knowledge of Vera Wang's style.
I'm actually, when I hear old Hollywood, I'm thinking like a silvery diamond satin kind of look.
Oh, no. I think that's going to be...
Like,
I think
just a touch of silvery, like not white, but like that sort of silvery white rather than, you know, like that creamy white. And I think it'll be satin. I think... No matter what, I think she's going to show
no matter what,
off that
yeah.
bod.
What I think is going to be delicious about... I say delicious because really when I think of a Vera Wang gown, which is so pure and beautiful, and I think of Kim Kardashian with her beautiful skin tone and her hair, it really does remind me of a perfect like chocolate vanilla kind of hoodsy cup or cake. And I just can't wait to take a taste. I think she's going to look delicious.
Well, I heard the Vicari Sex and the City thing, and I... immediately thought of the dress that she ended up choosing.
And that movie's too good. It's gold.
And I'm thinking that you know, it's going to go in that direction of that dramatic New York scene that we're
seeing. And the gossip with the show, she has a bridal shower coming up very soon. And everyone in Hollywood is at this. I mean, everyone. Maria's going to be there. I think that's rumored. Whoopsies. I don't know who's going to this wedding. But everyone is going to be going to this wedding. And I wonder what the kind of coverage and press is going to be. Because in a recent interview, Kim was saying that she is... It was Jay Leno, I think. She was on Jay Leno. And she said that she's still not sure if she's going to cover it for Keeping Up with the Kardashians. If it fits in what she said, the story arc... of the entire next season, if they're going to start shooting then.
Well, I think the cameras are rolling. So my question is it a special or is it a season of...
I think it must become a special because I think it is foolish for them to take something that is so anticipated and beautiful potentially and make it just another episode of a kind of falling show, whereas they could make this into a royal wedding kind of multi-camera shoot, in my opinion.
I definitely see special in the future. I'm seeing special.
Well, what do you think? I mean, the Casey Anthony trial just wrapped up this week. Big gossip there.
Totally different page here. Away from the wedding gossip. Kim Kardashian's O.J. Simpson ties have resurfaced amid this Casey Anthony trial. And I know I don't know anybody who doesn't have a strong opinion on this case. Kim Kardashian is no exception. Obviously tweeting about it, but celebrities are discounting her opinion because of her family ties to that high-profile case. Bill Maher was one of these celebrities to call out Kim Kardashian on his HBO show for the tweet she sent out following the verdict. Marr said, if your dad was on OJ's legal dream team, you can't tweet your disappointment over the Casey Anthony verdict. He's, of course, referencing the 1995 O.J. Simpson trial, where he was avoided being charged with murder. Kardashian's father, Robert Kardashian, was an attorney at that trial. Now, what Kim Kardashian tweeted on her public Twitter page was, what? A million exclamation points. Casey Anthony found not guilty, all caps. I am speechless. Honestly, the girl is entitled to an opinion like everybody
entirely,
else.
Entirely, but... Okay, let's be real. Twitter is not a place to put your opinions anymore when you have 8 million followers. It's a publicity thing. And I think if Kim were smart about what she did, was that her and the girl should have made a pact to not comment about this Casey Anthony trial because it is too close to home and it is too close to hook them up as hypocrites. Because their father is, in large part, seen as a villain in the lawyer world for what he did to clearly set a celebrity free for an awful, awful murder. And Casey Anthony is a heightened O.J. Simpson kind of trial. And people looked at that day as an O.J. Simpson victory part due. And I think these girls should have banded together, said nothing, whatever their opinion may have been, waited till the press contacted their people to issue an opinion, and then say it's a disappointment that justice was not served. And play it safe.
Honestly,
and get out of the limelight. I think it was an awful idea for her to tweet about it, whatever her opinions may be, because it's not about her, it's about what her family represented for a huge thing in history.
Honestly, hearing you say that makes perfect sense, and that would be the right thing to do, but they're the Kardashians. They probably did it on purpose to get
more. Oh, I'm sure.
Press.
And I mean,
and,
smart of them,
you know,
because...
Honestly, I have to say, though, I really do have to say, she is not her dad. She had, how old was she probably when that was all going on? Like,
10 or
honestly,
12,
do you
like,
really think that that should make her not be allowed to have an opinion?
It's not about not allowed. It's about you have to recognize that you're not part, you're part of a dynasty. You're not just an individual. You can be an individual within it, but you're part of something that happened in American history, whether you like it or not, whether you are your father or not, but you represent something that happened. And when you kind of issue a statement like that via Twitter, where maybe it would have been more intelligent of her because it hits so close to home. People still look at that family as an immoral family because of the fact that they lived in a house financed by a murderer getting off free and proving that celebrities can get away with anything. You know, whether that's your fault or not, you have some kind of responsibility to recognize this is what people know of you.
Okay, but this is that key line in Hollywood, all press is good press. Like, do you think that this is an example? Is there such thing as bad press for the Kardashians? Do you really think
at this
that
point,
this is something
at
that
this
can
point,
hurt them?
At this point, maybe not. But I don't think that they should be turning people... I don't think, like... What I am worried about is that if fan... Because, let's be real, the Kardashians have breeded a fan base. And if you hate the Kardashians, you're probably not going to eventually love them. It's one of those families that you either like and learn to love, and if you really don't like them, you're probably never going to come to like them because of your own opinions about them. Could be, could stem from you think that they're immoral or whatever it may be. But I think she infuriated the people who hate her for whatever reason by putting something out there like this, and potentially took fans to say, I agree with you, Kim, but wouldn't you think of something a little more sincere because you come from a family that set him free?
Well, from what I saw, her fans seem to totally be defending her on this. But you're right. I do think it's definitely it would ignite something.
I'm happy that I'm happy that she disagrees with the Casey Anthony trial. Clearly, but I think every human out there who, unless they were the jury, agreed that the girl was guilty and what happened was wrong. But I think Kim Kardashian probably should have taken a moment of pause rather than tweeting right after the live announcement to say, what's this going to look like by me saying this? Not so much, what am I saying?
Right. Well, here's hoping that that Kardashian machine controls themselves one day.
And Keeping Up with Casey Anthony is the next spinoff. Like, is
oh
she going to do Dancing with the Stars?
I don't know anybody who wasn't infuriated by
is
that.
Is she babysitting Kate Gosselin's 8 kids? I don't know what the next deal is, but pigs are flying. Casey Anthony is free.
Crazy talk. Well,
awesome.
That's all for this week's news and gossip, because I think we could go on about that
forever.
But we have predictions to get into, and it looks like
now,
the tyrant. Oh, there's that crazy music.
Predictions.
Okay, sorry, I just had to
go for it.
Do some Halloween ghostly noise.
Yeah.
It looks like Chris is taking a back seat next week because Rob is all of a sudden stepping into next week's scripted episode.
Yeah.
And he's in the hospital? What?
The thing is, I don't know. It must not be anything serious because we read everything about the Kardashians in the tabloids. And Rob, even though he's not a big star, if it's really bad, something would have come up. I wonder if it's from his itchy butt, which was the starter of this episode, which was like kind of odd. But I
How
wonder if that
pass
was
over the itchy butt.
I wonder if it's a smart little foreshadow.
A tree to wipe himself, and would you be in a porn movie? Ugh, I don't know.
I don't know. I like the boys. But I wonder, that to me, I think, is going to be some good family drama. When your son gets hurt, that to me is good television. I love Grey's Anatomy, and I'm going to love this next episode.
And it looks like Scott is, you know, as much as Chris wants them to get married, all of a sudden he's becoming the bad guy again.
No, don't fall.
Rob is not coming over because of him, so I wonder.
But Courtney stuck it to him, and Courtney kicks him out. So again, I think looking at next episode, Rob's going to be a big part of it. I predict that the injury or whatever is happening in the hospital is not going to be that big of a deal, but I do wonder why he hates Scott. So I'll give it that I am going to watch to figure out what happens to Rob and why he hates Scott. But other than that,
I'm liking the guys this season, so I'm looking forward
to it. I miss Chris Humphries and Kim. I wish we could see more of that.
And more Kim. More guys, more Kim. Well, at least we look like we're getting more guy drama next week. So I can't wait
well-deserved.
To chat with you, Pat Lambert.
Thank you so much.
Oh, wait.
Thank you for joining me.
Jackie,
is that Jesse talking there?
Yes, before you guys head out, before you say bye, Jackie,
uh-oh.
I want to make two announcements.
Ooh, I love announcements.
Yes, I wanted to thank him at the beginning of the episode, but we're going to do it now. AfterBuzz TV has started an After Buzzers of the Month. And so I would love to congratulate Ed Bowling, Michelle Macedo,
ooh,
and John Comerford for being our first ever After Buzzers of the Month.
Yay!
Yay for them.
Congrats,
thanks for
guys.
Announcing that it's not us, but cool.
Oh,
great.
Pat.
Good for them. That's so nice.
So then we'd also like to say, I know it's been a long time since we've been able to be up on iTunes, but we are back.
Yay,
back on iTunes.
Yes, we are on iTunes and on Stitcher, Stitcher. It's an application for your phone in which you can download AfterBuzz podcasts like Keeping Up with the Kardashians and listening to your favorite hosts like Pat and Jackie.
Yay.
Yeah,
do that. Do that.
Yes. So we're back. We're heading on full steam ahead. And Jackie, take us on out of here.
All right, guys. Well, you heard it. iTunes, Stitcher, Ustream. We got it all going on. And thank you, Pat Lambert, for dishing Kardashians with me. We'll be back
thank
next
you
week.
So much.
And that's all for this week, Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
We will see you later. Marital bliss, all.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.